First of all, I would like to thank God Almighty for giving me such a wonderful opportunity to share the Word of God with you this morning. And also, I would like to thank Reverend Ricky and the Church Council for providing me with this violet stall, and I am happy to receive it. Okay, let's pray. Through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
A few days back, I received a message from one of my friends on Advent, and I would like to share it with you all. If there is no Advent, then Christmas is not adequately experienced. If you do not experience the message of Advent, and therefore do not look for Jesus to come, then do not be surprised that Christmas seems to slip by without leaving a mark on your soul. Today, we observe the third Sunday of Advent, also known as Joy Sunday or Gaudete Sunday, derived from the Latin word gaudete, which means rejoice. It fills us with the sense that the time is getting short and soon our joy will be complete as we will celebrate our Savior's birth. Advent is the season of waiting and effortfully preparing ourselves for the coming of God's promised Son. This is the time we reread the promises of God from the Old Testament. For example, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 to 22, which talks about God raising up a prophet after Moses. When Jesus came on the earth, the people of God had already been waiting for a long time for the leader who would usher in a new era of liberation and prosperity for Israel. In their search of the scriptures for help in identifying the prophet to come, Palestinian Jews settled on the miracle catalog and rhythmic list of signs and mentioned throughout the prophetic and poetic writings. Such catalogs drew from a familiar set of healing and restoration miracles that would both reveal and validate the prophet after Moses. Prophet Isaiah lays forth such listing or catalog in chapter 35, which has been read before us this morning. There are dozens of catalogs in the Old Testament. The prophets of old were used to having encounter with God in a variety of ways, including visions in the night, voice from the sky, burning bushes, etc. The underlying mode of communication in most of these encounters was presentational for the people. Though the specific content could be just about anything, but they had one theme in common. That is, God's reign will someday be made known to all people in an unmistakable way. God's reign will someday be made known to all people in an unmistakable way. The task of the prophet was often the task of describing to the people what would it be like when the Messiah comes. How would they know if the Messiah has come? The prophet would say, "Look around. When the Messiah comes near, it will be like this." So that the people do not get confused about Messiah's coming. Another such catalog we find in Isaiah 40, verse 3. "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Now, the voice referred to here is the voice of John the Baptist, as we all know, who was born a few months before Jesus' birth to proclaim the coming of the Messiah. John the Baptist revealed in Isaiah 40 and Malachi 3, confirmed by Jesus. In the Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 11, we heard that Jesus refers to John the Baptist as more than a prophet. And we know that he was the greatest road worker whom God sent right before Jesus to prepare the way. And like it was depicted last Sunday by the children of our church, the same person who was sent to prepare way for Jesus' coming possibly felt gloomy upon being imprisoned by King Herod. I have never been in a prison as a prisoner, but as a pastor, I have visited prisoners. Behind the locked gates, prisoners experience a form of darkness, as the vision is limited to the size of their cell. Despite his isolation, John managed to communicate with Jesus. Many people, even today, are imprisoned or are behind bars in different ways. Their vision is limited and they do not communicate with Jesus, which profoundly affects. Whether Christ comes and makes a home in their heart is evident. A big reason why so many question where God and Jesus are in their lives is because their minds are narrow in the gloom. Their faith has not been formed. They do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, and as a result, they cannot see God at work in the everyday dimension of their lives. The New Testament reading, taken from James 5, 7 to 10, tells us to wait patiently for God's kingdom or Christ's second coming. Many a time it is difficult to wait patiently, isn't it? But like John, who was in the prison at that time, if we make efforts to communicate with the author and finisher of our faith, he will certainly comfort and strengthen us by his love and make our joy complete. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 4 and 5, Jesus told John's disciple to share his words, which they hear and see with John, in order to give him assurance and comfort. Jesus validates himself from the catalog given in Isaiah chapter 35, which has been read before us this morning, by mentioning the works he did in the lives, and he was doing in the lives of blind, lame, lepers, deaf, dead, and poor. He mentioned the joy of the redeemed. And right there, when our Messiah is with us, we find our joy too. We look around at our lives and the lives of the ones we love, and we say, yes, it is God's too. I was blind. We may not say that. I was blind or lame or downtrodden. We may say something else. God healed me, lifted me up, touched my life, and gave me joy. God has come here, and extraordinary things have happened in our lives. For that we praise God. But can we pause for a minute? Some people come to celebrate Rejoice Sunday, Godity Sunday, with less enthusiasm or less rejoicing than expected. They feel depressed deep down in their hearts. They struggle to meet or celebrate with their families. Or there are some who remember sad things or bad things that happen around Christmas. Many of us, many times, find that our joy is not absolute. Our joy is not complete around this time of the year. But why? Because we have our own customized catalog for the season. In the last parish where I served as a priest. On the day following Christmas, we used to have celebration in an orphanage, somehow related to our parish. And last year's theme was, Jesus is the reason of the season. Jesus is the reason of the season. Something we hear quite often, but I don't know how seriously we all take it. Carols, decorations, games, shopping, everything is in our catalog, which I agree are good. They are in my catalog too. But as a true Christian, what all things can I add to my catalog? He is not going to be born again as a baby anymore. So speculate if we are waiting earnestly for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Can I be a blessing to someone this season? Christmas is a season to share and show our love towards others, as God has shown His love by sending His only Son. Advent calls us to make room for Jesus in our hearts. It calls us to make possible for Him to come to smooth out some of the rough places. There is a wonderful hymn, "Thou didst leave thy throne," which captures this Advent hope. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for Thee. Advent teaches us to live with patient expectation, yet be effortful as we wait. God begins with a tiny child born in humble surroundings, and then God works slowly, surely. Our task is to be watchful, not to lose hope, to see what God is doing in our lives and around us. And at the same time, it is our duty to share the true message of this season and our abundant joy of Lord's birth with others. The joy of Christmas isn't just that He came, but that He is coming again to finish what He started. Let's pray. God and Father of all, prepare our hearts for the birth of Your Son, and remove any sadness that hinders us from feeling the joy while we patiently wait for Your coming. Help us as we carry Your love to the world, and inspire hope to renew the face of the earth. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.